Got a question for you to start out with tonight. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You know I would. Who's your best friend? Really? Right? There you go. That's it. He is our best friend. And that's even if you're not even looking to him. Now, I'm talking about for his people, the elect family of God, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, okay, redeemed by his blood, even they get distracted. You know, there's periods in just like Ephesians chapter 2 says, talks about how that, and you hath he quickened who were dead, trespasses and sins. There's been a time in our life when we weren't following the Lord. We weren't seeking the Lord. We weren't looking to him for the things we needed. And we certainly wasn't looking to him to follow in his way. You know, we pick on John Newton a lot, don't we? If you've read anything about the life of John Newton, you know that his mama taught him well, but he went astray. And he led an evil life. And there were many years in that man's life that if anybody had looked at that man, they would not have thought him to be a child of God. And yet he's the one that was blessed to write many hymns, probably the most famous of all, Amazing Grace. Ain't God's grace amazing? He is our best friend, even when we're not looking to him. He is still faithful to us. Oh, that we could appreciate that lesson. Now, tonight, I've got a number of verses. Since we've just gone through Proverbs, it's all fresh in your mind. You understand all about it now. I don't either. But what I have on my heart is to notice some, and I'm sure I won't get them all, and we'll just have to notice what we do cover tonight along the lines of what Proverbs has to counsel us concerning friends and companions. Now, I wanted to start out with that thought that he's our best friend. No friend like Jesus. I mean, he always will be. Always has been. All right. And in Ephesians chapter 4, as that chapter closes out, the Apostle Paul speaks about how that we're to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one, loving one another, forgiving one another, even as God, for our best friend's sake. I'll put it that way. Even as God, for Christ's sake, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. It's because of our best friend we have forgiveness. And we're supposed to be like him. So the more we can understand about what the scriptures teach us about being a friend, having friend, the kind of friends that we need to have, and the kind of companions that we're to spend our time with, the more we can understand about what God's word says about that, the better equipped we can be in living in this life and enjoying the friendship of the kind of people that will bring the most joy and happiness in our life. Isn't that what we want for our life? Isn't that what we want for our children's lives and our grandchildren and whoever, our friends? That's what we want. And that's what the Bible tells us. And so as we go through some of these verses, then, and you might guess, chapter 1, he starts out with my son. So a good bit of the early few chapters of Proverbs is teaching our children the kind of teaching that they need to hear, the kind of teaching that we need to be giving to them and helping them, all right? And I'm just going to, like I said, I want to get a number of verses. So a lot of times, some of these, especially in the first few chapters, the context continues for more than just one verse. Later on in Proverbs, you get to those single verse thoughts that he gives us. But in the early part of the book, we found that there's a number of verses here that speaks of the same thing. And so beginning in verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee..." Wow. You know, here's something that ought to catch our attention at any age. Temptations don't stop when we turn 18 or 21 or 65 or 100. They don't stop. They never will. Oh, but the sooner we can learn this lesson, the better off we'll be. "My son, if sinners entice thee..." Sinners, those people who are living their life and making choices that are different from what the Word of God teaches us how to live and enjoy peace and blessings from God. If those kind of people entice us... Now, what's an enticement? Well, they want to encourage us to go and do like they're doing. Come on, go with us. You know, they want you to go do what they're doing. And who are they? Sinners. Okay? So those people that are doing things that mom and daddy don't want them to do, or what's contrary to God's word, the things that are different from what would bring happiness into our life. The point is, someone's encouraging us to make a choice that's not good. You know, life is just full of choices, isn't it? And when we're talking about friends and companions here, there's choices. You know, who do you choose to have as a friend? Who do you choose to have as a companion? Who do you choose to listen to and go with them and do the things that they're doing? If we're understanding what the Word of God is teaching us, then bless your hearts, we understand. It will help us to understand and to recognize when people are doing things that are not right. All right, so that's the first thing, is it helps us to see what's not right. But then you've got to make a choice. Oh, I want to be a friend. You know, that's such a heavy pressure, isn't it? And it doesn't, not just for early years, but later in life as well. Everybody likes to fit in. Everybody likes to have a friend. Everybody likes to not to... Nobody wants to be different all the time. And yet, if we understand what Jesus taught us to do to follow him, we're going to have to be different sometimes. We're going to have to make some choices that our friends may not understand. But we need to, don't we? Because we're blessed to understand that following the Lord, doing what's right, is what's going to bring real happiness. Real happen, not just some fun every now and then, but real happiness and joy. There's a difference. There can be a great difference between joy and fun. And I've said many times, the word fun is not even in the Bible. Oh, but it's full of joy. It's full of examples where people have done what's pleasing to the Lord and they found much joy in their life. And joy is lasting. Fun is just now and then, and for a little while here and a little while there, and sometimes it can get expensive, can't it? But joy doesn't cost you a penny. We can rejoice in the Lord all the time. And it's lasting, and it's good, and it's clean, and it's an encouragement. It builds us up, strengthens us, helps us to stand tall before our God, not in pride, but in obedience. What a blessing when we do that which is pleased. So, "My son, if sinners entice thee," he says, "consent thou not." In other words, don't agree with them. If they want to go do something that you know is not right, don't agree with them. Don't go with them. Isn't that such a simple lesson? But it's simply profound, isn't it? And those of us who've been around a while, we know exactly what that's talking about. Most of us that's lived our life for a number of years now, I'm sure you've been in situations where you didn't say no. You went with some friends. You went with the crowd. And you found yourself in a real uncomfortable situation. And you'd like it. But you made that decision and you made a bad choice. The sooner we can make a good choice, the sooner we can get things turned around. But the longer we keep making bad choices, the harder it's going to be. So, just right here in chapter 1. This is a lesson that is directed to the young folks, but it's good for all of us to remember it as long as we live. All right? Now, didn't the Apostle Paul tell us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners? And that word communications there has reference to our companions. Well, you might say, well, why didn't the Word of God say companions? Well, because that communication is the kind of thing that's coming from evil companions. All right, so it's that communication. It's that urging. It's that enticing. It's that maybe even criticism. Oh, you're too good for that, or, you know, those kind of things. You know, you've heard that. You're going to be a goody two-shoes. You know, you've heard that. Bless your hearts. Those sinners that try to entice us, okay, that evil communication that's coming our way because of those evil companions. And when we talk about evil companions, we're not talking about somebody with horns and long teeth and claws. We're talking about somebody who's not looking to the Lord for their counsel. It's somebody that's following after what they feels good to the flesh. It's somebody that's following after what's popular in the world. But be not deceived. Evil communications coming from evil companions corrupt good manners. We try to teach, instruct, and give good examples to our children and our friends. And at an early age, if God has blessed us to know Him and blessed us to have a love for Him, then at an early age, we can be a good influence on our friends. God will bless us to stand up for what's right. And so, back to Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't agree with them. And don't go with them. That sounds so simple, but it is so profound. You know, it's really a lot of life is making some simple choices that keep us from getting into the more difficult things. Just staying away from some of those things. And then you're not in the middle of it trying to figure out what to do. Okay? And that's what, let's see, let's keep going here. Oh, by the way, in keeping with this, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Do you remember in the book of Daniel when the king decided to pass this decree that everybody's going to have to bow down? Well, very early in the book, okay, let me go back to the preparation of these young men that were carried into captivity, and they were going to be trained up in the ways of the Chaldeans and be used by the king in his court. And so the king's allowance was going to be meat and wine. You remember what was said about Daniel? Of course, now he was probably a teenager by then, upper teens probably. Somewhere 14, 16, 18, somewhere along in there. But it was said of Daniel, and in the last 10 years, I guess, I have just learned such a tremendous respect for the book of Daniel. And the example, the strong example that Daniel gives us in the Word of God. But it says of him that Daniel prepared his heart to seek the Lord. You know, he determined in his heart that he was going to be faithful. And so he refused the king's meat. And he refused the wine. That meat was probably offered to some idol. Okay? And so Daniel requested that they not do that. And then it goes from that. But my point is, here was a young man, been taken as captive, carried away from his home, in a foreign land, taken away from his nation of people. If he'd just gone along with the program, probably nobody would have ever known the difference. Except one. God would have. But look what a tremendous blessing it was that Daniel purposed in his heart to seek the Lord and to be faithful to God. You know, we could be blessed to do the same thing. Even as an early age, we can be blessed if we ask the Lord for help to be faithful to Him. He'll grant that request. He'll help us. He'll strengthen us. He'll give us the courage we need. Because, you see, courage is made up, first of all, of love for God. The more we love Him, the more we're willing to be courageous for Him. But without that love, all we're thinking about is ourselves. How's this going to affect me? How's this going to affect my life? Instead of, like John would tell us, that perfect love casteth out fear. The stronger our love is, and the more perfect it is toward God, the more courageous we will be to be faithful to Him. It might sound strange to you, might not. Maybe you've been doing the same thing, but over the years, I've asked the Lord, teach me how to love you more. Teach me how to love you more. He can't love us anymore. Oh, but we can love Him more. And the more love we have to Him, the more courageous we'll be to be faithful to Him. Because we have a better understanding of all that He's done for us. Okay? All right. Let's see. And that several verses there goes through other instruction. I encourage you to read that section of Proverbs chapter 1. I just quoted verse 10. But he goes on to elaborate, you know, what they might say and how they might entice you and how the words they might use to entice you. And I encourage you to read that later. But let's move on to chapter 2, verse 20. This is in the, and I'm just grabbing some verses. When there's a context, I'll try to help you with that. But he's been speaking here about being aware of a strange woman. Not, you know, a young man. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, the chapter begins. And he's warning about strange woman. But then he goes, verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men. See, if we'll listen to the instruction of our fathers, our parents, if we'll listen to the instruction of the Bible, because there is where wisdom is found, in the Word of God. If we will have a high regard for the Word of God, he says that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Well, good men, in this context, good men are those men who know the Word of God and who are following the Word of God. And he's encouraging us to walk in that way, in the way of good men, to follow righteous path, to follow the wisdom of God, so that we too can be good people in this sense, okay? When we choose, again, it gets back to choices, doesn't it? You know, we have thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not a million choices in a day's time. You know, this old brain just works with a lot of stimulus, doesn't it? All right? We make lots of little choices all day long. And if our focus is on pleasing the Lord and walking according to His Word, that's going to influence in our choices in a wonderful way. But if we're not thinking about the Lord, if we're not thinking about His Word, then our choices, quite frankly, will end up being what we feel like doing. And if you're going to live according to feelings, you're going to have trouble. That's why we need to listen to the Word of God. That's why we need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to ask the Lord for help to help us overcome what we naturally make choices in doing and try to choose what's pleasing to the Lord. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. So if you're keeping the paths of the righteous, who are your companions? Good men. That's what we need in our life, isn't it? The good influence. We need the Word of God, and we need that influence from those who are following the Word of God. Okay? There's much more we could say about that. Chapter 4. I'm trying to hit some of the high. I've got a lot of verses here, and I don't know how far we'll get tonight. But Chapter 4. Verse 14. Now remember, we're talking about the counsel the Word of God has with regard, in Proverbs, with regard to friends and companions. All right, 4:14. Enter not in the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Sounds kind of like how we started out tonight, isn't it? If sinners entice thee, consent thee not. Don't go with them. Don't listen to them. Don't agree with them. Okay? Enter not into the path of the wicked. In other words, people that are going to be doing things that are not right. Don't go there. And go not in the way of evil men. Don't go where they are. Don't do what they do. Right? That's simple enough, isn't it? Okay? Listen, then he adds some strength to this. Verse 15, avoid it. You know, sometimes you're put in situations where you can't change who's there. But you might have the opportunity to just not be there, to avoid it. Now, if it's school, if it's in the workplace, you may not have a choice, okay? And God knows that. If you're in a situation where you have to be around some folks that you don't want to be around, God sees that. He knows that, and He will help you. Okay? So He says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not. Don't. So don't go there, and don't do what they're doing. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. There are many times when we do have a choice about where we're going and what we're going to do. And when we do that, and when we understand, if we look ahead, you know, temptations are one thing, but if we can have the wisdom to look ahead, it'll help us avoid a lot of things about getting ourselves in a situation where we'd rather not be there. Okay. Chapter 13. I'm sure there's many other verses, but I tried to just go through and pull out some. Chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Wow. Here's some good companions having a good influence on us. All right? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You know, there's a lot of things that we need to learn in life. And if we can try to spend our time with wise people, godly people, we can learn. Iron sharpeneth iron, he says elsewhere. And so we'll learn from those that are sharp so that we can be sharper, so that we can learn. But we need to have good companions, don't we? We need to have those people that can teach us things that are valuable. There's a lot of vanities. That's the Bible word, vanities, which means empty and unprofitable. And there's a lot of vanity in the world. A lot of people spending a lot of time on things that don't profit. And in the end, it's just empty. So that's a waste of time, isn't it? But if we're learning things that are good and useful, it'll bless our lives for the rest of our days. That's what we need. That's what we need. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools. That's who I just talked about. People that spend their time doing things that are no profit and empty. But a companion of fools shall be what?
Destroyed.
Oh my goodness. We want our life to be like that? Destroyed? No. But the Word of God's warning us. Don't go there. Don't do those things. Don't spend your time with what Proverbs is referring to as fools, who are people who are not seeking after the Lord. All right? We don't want our life to be destroyed. Remember Matthew 7:13? Let me turn to that. It's similar to some others, but let me turn to it real quick. I'll make sure I get it straight. Part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." It's a difficult way, it's a narrow way, but it's the good way. Okay, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Those people that are chasing their vanities and doing things that are empty and unprofitable, there's so many of them. That leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate. It may be more difficult, and it is more difficult, but it's the better way. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. When you're trying to do what's right, there are many times when you feel like you may be the only one. Sometimes it's a lonely way. But remember how we started this. The best friend you have is always with you. He's always there, and he's always able to save you from the situation you're in. I give you no temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, if you take that verse, it's long, but if you take that verse for what it says he will give you a way of escape. He will. Do you trust that? Do you believe that? Then we've always got help. We've always, because our best friend is always there for us. Now, let's get the next verse in chapter 13. I read verse 20. Now, listen to the verse 21. Evil pursueth sinners. You ever heard anybody say, trouble just follows that person? Well, if they're doing things that are not right, they're just going to keep getting into more and more scrapes. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous, which one do you want? Do you want trouble to follow you everywhere? But to the righteous, good shall be repaid. God's going to bless you for faithfulness. God's going to bless you in your obedience. Which one would you rather have? Trouble to follow you everywhere? Or for God to be blessing you because you're doing what's pleasing to Him? It's not a hard choice, but you got to be thinking about it. You got to think ahead. You got to plan for it. You got a purpose in your heart not to sin against God. Start your day that way. All right? You know, part of what that verse speaks about is the law in God's word of sowing and reaping. You know, those of you who planted a garden, if you go out and plant green beans, what's going to come up from that? Really? How often? You beat me to it. How often? Without exception? Yeah. That's what you put in there. So, as someone said one time, if you don't like the harvest, look at what you've been planting. Plant good things. Plant good things. Plant obedience. Plant faithfulness. Plant good things. And what kind of harvest do you think you'll get? I'm not saying you won't have any troubles in life. I'm not saying you won't have any heartaches. I'm not saying that sometimes things are going to get difficult. I'm just simply saying there is an inescapable law in God's word of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Thankfully, God is merciful. Let's see, who was that radio preacher that said one time, some of you are sowing wild oats and coming to church on Sundays and praying for a crop failure. I think that was Love Worth Finding. Whatever his name. No. But anyway. I'm not trying to make light of God's word. These are serious. They're simple principles. But oh, so serious. And have such an impact in the kind of happiness we can have in life. Okay. Chapter 16, verse 28. Chapter 16, verse 28. Some of these are warnings. Okay. Chapter 16, verse 28. A froward man. Froward. Remember what froward means? Means someone that turns aside, someone that departs, someone that's perverse. In other words, they're not looking to the Lord. They've departed from the good way, and they're not doing what God would have them to do. Okay? That's a simple explanation. The froward. A froward man. So if he's departed from following the Lord, if he's forsaken God's way, and if he's not doing things that are good, what do you expect out of such a person? A froward man soweth strife. Oh, my goodness. Strife. There's going to be strife there. Especially if you're trying to do what's right, and they're not. If you're putting a high priority on doing what's right, and they're not, there's your source of strife, isn't it? So whatever you want to do, they're not going to want to do that. It's just constant contention. And really, we all have that within us, with that conflict between the flesh and the spirit. But if we're feeding the spirit, if we're trying to do what's right, if we're walking in the spirit so that we're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, then that's going to be stronger and it's going to help us. Right. A froward man soweth strife. Then the second part of that is, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A whisperer. And what that's talking about is somebody that would say something about you to some folks that they wouldn't say to yourself. A whisperer. You know, so when we're talking about friends and companions, if something like that's going on, what's that gonna do for our relationship? It's gonna come to a point where it's gonna drive a wedge. So just another point that the Word of God makes to help us concerning our friends and companions. Let's see. Chapter 17, verse 12. This was one of those, when we were talking about this, we were going through it earlier. the point here, 17:12. So oftentimes, there'll be those who start allowing things in their own life. And they're not nearly as concerned about that right and wrong. They start allowing this and allowing that. And all of a sudden, something that's blatant sin, that person's looking at it and say, well, that's not so bad. But that's not the way God looks at it. If it was ever bad, it's still bad. He doesn't change. Now, chapter 17, verse 12, it, a little bit humorous, but very serious. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Now, how serious would it be if there's a mother bear and somebody has taken her cubs and you're the first one to meet that bear in the way? You know, from what we know about it, she's going to be upset. She's not going to be, you know, I mean, you can just imagine there's going to be a lot of danger there. And here's the comparison that the Word of God's making here between a bear robbed of her whelps, her cubs. You can imagine how upset and dangerous she would be toward others under that kind of a situation. Well, he compares that. He said, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather. In other words, even as bad as that is, that would still be better than a fool in his folly. Now, if you stop and think about this, a fool in his folly, most folks would look at that and say, well, there's not any danger there. Most folks would look at that and say, well, you know, he's entitled to his own opinion. But if he's doing things that are contrary to God's word, if he's doing things that are not right, if he's not seeking after God, we don't need that influence creeping into our life. Because it can pull us astray. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It's only going to serve to drag us down and pull us out of the way if we allow it if we just look to those things instead of, you know, and say, and not look at it for the evil that it is. And here's my biggest point about this, that God's word puts this in a class of evil that we don't normally look at it like that. We need to be careful to let those things be allowed in our life. Okay? All right. Chapter 17, verse 17. Chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times. All right, so it's clear from this verse that what we're talking about is a real and true friend. Because it's somebody who loveth at all times. I suspect we've all had folks we thought were real friends, and it turned out they weren't, because they didn't love at all times. Somehow or another, they let us down. Somehow or another, they deceived us. Somehow or another, it turned out they're not a real, true friend. But aren't you thankful in your life that there are real and true friends? A real friend loveth at all times. In other words, we have to cast a mantle of charity sometimes. We have to realize that sometimes people get distracted. Sometimes people are having a bad day. Sometimes people make poor choices. We need to be loving toward them, all right, and try to encourage them, but we need to be a true friend. There's a lot in that. So he says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, sometimes that brother is in the flesh. Sometimes he's a comrade, a companion, someone that you're put in the same situation, and you know, those of you in the military, you know more about that than, I mean, you know a lot about that. The value of a good friend in that context. All right? So, and a brother is born for adversity. You know, and I can't think of a better example of this than the church. God's people. Seeking to please the Lord, seeking to follow in paths of righteousness. You know, that was when Sister Nancy and I and Brother Tim, we moved to San Antonio, Texas. Moved out there and didn't think we'd know a soul. Turns out there were some folks there we'd known already, but beside the point. But one of the great lessons in that short period of time, that hour, year and a half that we lived in that part of the world, one of the great lessons, since both of us had grown up in churches where there was lots of family, and family's wonderful, but it was different to be in a situation where we didn't have family. But we did. We had the family of God. And oh, what a blessing that God has given us the church. And we need to hold that in such high regard. This is something precious that God's given us. And we need to treat it as such. And God's wisdom has given us the church. So that whether it's a brother in the flesh or whether it's a brother in Christ, for the adversities, there's times when we can encourage one another. There's times we need encouragement. And we can get it from our brethren and sisters in Christ. What a blessing that is. All right? I'm running out of time here now. Chapter 18, verse 24. Chapter 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends. You got friends? Got many friends? All right? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That's a principle in the Word of God. You want friends? You need to be friendly. Really, you need to be a friend. And be that good friend that loveth at all times, who's able to help, who's able to reach out to others and to encourage them and do what they can for them. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Well, that's simple enough, isn't it? But it's something we need to tuck away in our mind and live according to it. All right? And it goes on. So if you want friends, you got to be a friend. I mean, plain and simple. Plain and simple. Okay? This verse goes on to say, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now we know, that's right, we know the ultimate fulfillment of that. And we have that. And he's there. He sticks closer than a brother. Okay? But I tell you, there's some mighty good friends in this world that'll do what they can for you. And I'm so thankful for folks like that that I've been a part of my life. And I know you are too. You've had those that reached out and helped you. Been there for you. What a blessing that is. And we need to cherish that and appreciate that. And we need to remember this simple principle that if we want friends, then we need to be friendly. We need to be a friend. And if you feel like you don't have a friend in the world, you're wrong. Because if you're a child of God, you've got one that sticketh closer than a brother, who loveth at all times. I said all times. Aren't you glad that God's love toward us is not based upon our obedience? Now, our fellowship with him has a lot to do with our obedience, but his love for us is for Christ's sake. And Jesus' obedience is full and perfect and constant. And so God's love to us for Christ's sake is full and constant. That's hard for us to fathom, isn't it? I'm afraid sometimes we just can't get away from the idea that I've made so many mistakes in my life. How could God's love toward me be constant? But it is. Because of Jesus, your best friend, who's always there for you. I tell you, how wonderful it is. I mean, that verse over in Hebrews where it talks about Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren. Wow. That just, every time I read that, it just gets me. How wonderful. Because I know it's the truth. How wonderful that is. Okay. Here's a practical lesson. Chapter 19, verse 4. Chapter 19, verse 4. Wealth maketh many friends. You know what that's talking about. Everybody likes to be a friend of the rich folks. You know, things that they have, what you can do, whatever. Okay? But if the wealth is what draws you to them, then there has to be that wealth to keep that situation. What happens if it's not there? If that's the basis of the friendship, then those friends are going to go find somebody else that's got some wealth. See how that is. And yet, it's so prevalent in our world. that has nothing to do with godliness. Jesus, when we were without strength, when we were enemies to Him, when we had nothing to pay our sin debt, the Father sent Him into this world to save us. That's grace. That's what grace has done for us. And how we rejoice in the grace of God. It's constant. It's perfect. It's to be appreciated every day we live. So, wealth maketh many friends. We understand that. But the poor is separated from his neighbor. You know, along the same lines of how that wealth maketh many friends, there was, in other words, there's that attraction to the wealth, not the person. Then if there's no wealth there, there's no attraction. It's the other side of the coin. But the poor is separated from his neighbor. In other words, should be his friend. Okay? So his neighbors avoid and shun him because of his constant need. But we should be evaluating things on a totally different scale, shouldn't we? Not a matter of wealth or the lack thereof, but the person's heart. Aren't you glad that when we had nothing to pay, God had mercy upon us and came to us. And He's made us rich in the things that are really worth it. And all that we're talking about tonight, this wisdom is better than rubies. This wisdom is better than silver and gold. This wisdom can add more joy and happiness to our lives than any amount of money ever could. Oh, the money can add fun, but it's not going to give the joy. Without Christ, it's nothing. Okay. Let's see. Chapter 22. I need to close this out here, but verse 24. Chapter 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. An angry person is not in a state of mind to think clearly or to make good choices. And if they're consumed in their anger, then all they're thinking about is themselves and whatever it was that's made them angry, pursuing something that they think is going to resolve that situation. They're not thinking clearly. They're not looking to be guided by the Spirit of God. Make no friendship with an angry man and a furious man. Thou shalt not go. Don't go with them. Okay? Lest thou learn his ways. Let's see. We've heard about this already, hadn't we? Evil communication corrupt good manners. It's not just evil companions, but that communication that we get from those companions. Evil communications from evil companions corrupt good manners. So he says here, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Okay? Let them go their own way. Cool off. Okay? Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. That's serious business, isn't it? In other words, trying to go along with that and trying to appease that or whatever, it's going to become a snare to your soul, your life. We need to avoid those things. Okay? Now, make no friendship with this type of individual. Remember what James had to say about that? James 4:4. It starts out by saying, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world, so oftentimes that's so lightly regarded. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. Enmity is feeling between enemies, hatred. And if we're going to go along with something, if we're going to just condone something that God hates, that's a snare to us, isn't it? Okay? Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. Who wants to be the enemy of God? I mean, Romans 8 tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's wonderful. But who wants to start out or make choices that would cause their day to take get you in line with somebody that's the enemy of God? It'll become a snare to you if you go along with that, if you do those things. So, God's word says, don't go with them. Don't do that. All right, let's get one more to close out with. Chapter 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners. 23:17. Let not thine heart, envy sinners. Envy. That would be desiring something that they have. That would be maybe desiring to be like them. But if they're sinners, what is it about that that you think will make you a better person? See, it's what do we value? How much value do we place on things? Okay. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Remember I talked about the many choices that we make in a day's time? Many, 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 many choices we make. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. When you're thinking like you should, you'll be making better choices. When you're thinking about choosing what would be most pleasing to the Lord, you're exercising the fear of the Lord, the high regard for His way above our own ways. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. You know, that day that David didn't go out to battle. Who knows? Most of his day might have been a good day. Most of his day might have been praising the Lord. But there was a part of that day when he got distracted. Now, I don't know. You know, it could have been most of that day. It could have been a pattern that was developing. I don't know. I'm just saying, this scripture says, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. It's your best defense against temptation. It's your best defense against the enticements of the wicked. It's your best defense against sinners that are around you having an influence on you. That's the wisdom of God. That's why we need to be reading this word and reminding ourselves of these little principles. They're small principles, but they yield tremendous results. If we just take heed, line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Isn't that what Isaiah said? Just even quoting that series of, or that verse or whatever, just quoting that, it seems mundane. But that's the way it is. I mean, it's line upon line. This little concept, that little concept. The reason we need to be reading it on a regular basis is because we forget. We get distracted. We get busy. There's so many things claiming our attention. We need to block out some time to refresh our mind of what God says of how to live our lives so that we can spend our day in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Okay. Any questions or comments? I only